refreshing times. I look forward to that every year, look forward to next spring already. And anyways, I know they're off having a good time, going to the Ark and who knows where. I bet they're probably eating pretty good too, knowing, amen. But a little bit about me. I was a fishing guide for a lot of years, and that was my platform over there at Lake Fork in East Texas, and God had me out there. My boat was my pulpit for a lot of years, and so I guess you could say fishing for men that way. And then God called me out of the fishing world to full-time ministry, and went to seminary when I was 50 over in Fort Worth, so I commuted back and forth, and it didn't bother me at all, amen, because I knew the Lord was in it, and I loved every mile of it, and used to fish a lot of tournaments across the country, bass tournaments, you know, like you see those guys on TV. You know, I'm not bragging about me, I'm just bragging on what the Lord did with me. He had me out there too, but once he got through me out there, and then I guided my way through seminary fishing, and that's how I provided for my family. And then since I got out of seminary, pastored one church there in Canton. Some of y'all have been there. And then God got finished with us there, and now he's got me in evangelism. So I'm supply preaching and just preaching meetings and singing a little bit, not much. And then, you know, just whatever the Lord has, you know, because there's always something next, amen. If you're following the Lord, there's always a what's next. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, the what's next. So find your way to Mark chapter 6, if you would. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. We're going to talk about the what's next. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, there was always a what's next. Amen. And for us too, there's always something around the corner. Amen. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. You know, it rained a lot at home. Doesn't look like y'all got much out this way. Looks pretty dry. I mean, it rained. We got some remnants of that storm down in the Gulf there. It rained like 3 inches one evening. I couldn't believe it. Hallelujah. And then the next day it rained a little bit more, probably another half inch, so that was good. So I guess I can crank the mower back up again. You know, thing about God, and people always used to ask me, you know, we had to go no matter what. It's kind of like the mailman. You just went. You know, people coming from all over the country to go fishing, you know. So if it was rain or shine, we went. And people would say, you know, y'all go fishing in the rain like that? I said, yeah. I said, you know, I've never caught a dry fish. I'd probably go out there anyway. I'm just kidding. Anyway, a friend of mine's grandpa used to say that. And it's true. Never caught a dry fish. Anyhow. If you found your way to Mark 6, 45, say amen. And won't we stand this morning, and if you're able, let's honor the reading of God's word this morning. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. Well, this was after the feeding of the 5,000. The Bible says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. In verse 53, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew near to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your power. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we ask you, Lord, now by way of your Holy Spirit, you come along beside your word this morning and speak to our hearts, God. God, strengthen us and refresh us. Refocus us this morning. God, just have your way in our hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that you give us some help this morning. We thank you that we can come to you for that. We thank you that we find it in your word, Lord. As we seek you this morning, God, I pray if there's one here that does not know you, Lord, someone who's been sitting on the fence, Lord, just holding back, Lord, I pray they'd come running to you today before it's everlasting too late, God, that they'd get saved. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your sweet name we pray, and the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Yes, there's always a what's next, isn't there? Things change. The seasons change. Our bodies change. Our calendar changes. Our birthdays change. I just had one not too long ago. Things change. Things are coming. Things are passing. There's things happening right now, but there's something that's next. There's always a what's next. And so think about that. Things never remain like they are forever. I mean, we've got to expect that things are going to be coming that we haven't experienced yet, or things coming that we don't know anything about yet. But listen, it was the same in the Bible days. As we read Mark chapter 6 and the other Gospels, even after the feeding of the 5,000, that miraculous thing that Jesus did, it was on to the next thing. And for us, after Jesus does something in our life, and maybe we just got saved, there's definitely a what's next after that. But even if we've been saved a long time, there's more coming. He's not through with us. There's a what's next. So, I mean, the next chapter. There's always another chapter. As long as the Lord tarries and doesn't come for us, amen. We got to let Jesus have the pen and keep writing. Amen. So after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with the five loaves and two fishes, we see here that Jesus immediately sent his disciples by ship to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He didn't wait around. They didn't stay there a few days and camp out. They didn't go fishing. They didn't cook breakfast. He sent them away immediately to the other side, towards the next place, for the next part, for the next phase, for the next purpose that was coming. Jesus was going to meet them over there. And Jesus was going to do some healing. Amen. And so in verse 45, we see here, let's pick it up right there. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida while he sent away the people. So the what's next for them was for Jesus to send them to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. Obviously something next was coming, or he wouldn't have sent them over there. Amen. And so in verse 46, we find something here. Look what it says. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Now, have you ever wondered why he didn't go with them? Why didn't Jesus get in the boat with them then? Why did he wait? Well, if you look back in John chapter 6, we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit. The people wanted Jesus to be a king. They were going to try to force him to be king. And they were looking for a military king, or they had a political agenda. They were wanting to go against Rome and take it back. But Jesus is like, I didn't come for that. Jesus didn't have a political agenda. He didn't have a financial agenda. He had a spiritual agenda, amen. And so Jesus knew it wasn't time for that. That's not what he came for. Jesus came to die. He didn't come to be that kind of king. Amen. So he went up to the mountain to pray. What a wonderful thought. As Jesus sent his disciples away, his followers away, on to the next thing, that Jesus went to the Father. What a wonderful picture for you and I this morning. that Jesus cares enough to intercede for you and I. Hallelujah. Verse 45 there, I just see this word straightway. This is immediately. When it's time to do and go on to the next thing, it's time to go. There's a perfect time for everything. Amen. But listen, verse 47. See, Jesus had turned them loose. They were on their way. They're out in the middle of the sea. Kind of a scary place. I don't know if you've ever been out in the middle of the ocean in a boat that was too little, but sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable. Amen. In my bass fishing tournament days, I remember one time one of our tour stops was up at Lake St. Clair. And Lake Erie's just below that. Yes, Lake Erie. And you're in a bass boat. And here I am, an East Texas boy. And I see a tanker coming my way. And I'm thinking, I'm in the wrong place. And I definitely have too small a boat. But it gets uncomfortable. But Jesus sent them across the Sea of Galilee in their boat. He sent them on to the other side. I mean, he sent them to the next place for the next part, for the next phase, for the next purpose. Because with Jesus, there's always the next purpose. There's always the next thing, always the next place. There's another part coming. But in verse 47 here, look what it says. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. So I picture it like this. He sent him on towards the other side. He goes to pray, and he's alone on the land, and they're out in the middle of the sea. But here's Jesus at his command post. Amen. Jesus at his command post. Jesus is always at his command post, by the way. He's on his throne. Hallelujah. But verse 48, here's the key verse for the text this morning. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Listen, it was rough out there. It got tough out there. They were fighting, they were rowing, they were toiling, they were fighting as hard as they could against the waves. It's like they weren't going anywhere. The waves were tall. It was scary. Think about this. And now look what it says. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. Listen, that fourth watch of the night, that's like from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning. It was dark. It was scary. They were overwhelmed. The waves were crashing into the boat. They were fighting as hard as they could. It's like they wasn't going anywhere. Have you been there? Life gets overwhelming. The waves get tall. It's like you're not doing any good, and you're rowing as hard as you can row, and you're fighting as hard as you can. It got rough. But you know what it says in the first part of that verse? Look at verse 48 with me. Read it with me. And he saw them toiling and rowing. He saw them. Listen. Jesus saw him. His eye was on him. And if you're toiling this morning, he sees you. His eye is on you. If this was a story about you and you were in the boat, if other people were reading this, it would say, and he saw them. And he saw you. And he saw you, sister. And he saw you. His eye was on them, and his eyes on you. Hallelujah. I'm just glad Jesus is always watching from his command post on high. Listen, sometimes our cross gets heavy. Bible says, whosoever will come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The cross gets heavy sometimes. It's sacrificial sometimes. It's burdensome sometimes. But it's all part of the what's next puzzle. We just got to know that God has a purpose in it all. And there's a time to everything, every season, under the heaven. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. To everything there's a time. everything. There's a time for everything. There's a season for everything. We got to trust the Lord in it. Even when it gets tough, listen, maybe you have a need this morning that you can't meet, that you don't see any way out of. No, Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says to, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things be added unto you. Listen, it says not to worry. There's a big picture. Jesus knows all about it. He'll meet every need you've got. But there's this thing called His timing. Keep that in your mind right there. You know, Jesus, He could have, you know, it says He went to them in the fourth watch of the night. You know, He could have moved. He could have went to them when it got a little bit rough. He could have moved when the wind just barely started blowing because He could see what was coming. He could have moved when it got pretty rough. But listen, He went when it got the roughest. He went when it got the darkest. He went when the waves were the tallest. He went when they were fighting the hardest. Think about that. He always moves when it does the most good. He always moves when He gets the most glory. That's when He moves. He's never early. He's never late. So if you're toiling, remember that. The King is coming. The King is coming. He's at His command post. He's watching you. His eye's on you. He knows the waves are big. He knows you're fighting. He knows you're toiling. But He's going to move when it does the most good. You just got to trust Him today. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Whew. Sorry, y'all. Whew. Been a rough year. But I know who's watching. Amen. Give me a minute. Verse 49. So we know the watch next is coming for all of us. We've got to go there for the next purpose. Amen. Sometimes we've got to cross some rough places, some scary places, some dark places, some hard places. But Jesus is praying. Hallelujah. And we know He moves when it does the most good. He never takes His eye off the situation. Praise the Lord. Verse 49, though, He's really the last part of verse 48. He says, in the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. Not that He was going to pass them by. He wanted to be alongside them so they could see Him. So they could see Him. Amen. He went out there, not that He didn't know where they were, but He went on out there with them. Hallelujah. Jesus doesn't mind that because Jesus loves us. Hallelujah. But listen, verse 49, and when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. See, they got real scared. They didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. They thought it was a ghost. So they cried out in fear. But Jesus heard their fear. He heard their cry. He knew they were scared. He was watching. He comforted them. He heard their cry. He knew they were scared. Listen, if you're afraid right now, He knows you're afraid too. You can cry out to Him. It's okay. Cry out to Him. He hasn't forgot about you. Just because He might seem silent doesn't mean He's not doing something. He's always behind the scenes doing something. He's getting the stage ready for His purpose, so He'll get the glory. Listen, we might not even see it this side of heaven, but we can rest assured that He will get the glory. Hallelujah. But Jesus, look, He saw them, but now He put Himself in a position where they could see Him. Thinking it was a ghost, they cried out in fear. Look at verse 50. for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Listen, Jesus got their attention. He heard their cry of desperation. You ever been desperate? Lord, I need you every hour. I love that song. Lord, I need you every hour. He got their attention. He immediately comforted them. Can I get an amen right there? You know, in the Bible it says, be of good courage. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Take courage. Be not afraid. Fear not. It's all throughout the Word. Jesus wants us to have courage. That's what it means here in verse 50. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Take courage. Listen, faith is the antidote for fear this morning and every day. Have courage. Amen. You know, Jesus got right in a boat with them. Look at verse 51. And he went up into them into the ship. He just got right in there with them. Right in that scary place. Right in that boat he sent them across that old scary, dark, rough lake in. He got right in there with them. And he's in the boat with you too this morning. Matter of fact, he's driving that boat. Hallelujah. He got in that rough place, in that scary place that he'd sent them into, and he calmed the wind. And it said they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know, they just witnessed something that afternoon that was miraculous. It was so miraculous that all the Gospels recorded it. You know, the only other thing recorded is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But I'm thinking that's the same day. The same day, earlier that day. And here they are. Jesus sends them out across the lake. They get in the storm. And I don't know if they just weren't thinking straight because it was so overwhelming or why. I mean, that happens. Amen. Sometimes we're just not thinking straight. Because our situation is overwhelming. That's right, it's like Mary at the tomb. She didn't recognize Jesus. Like the guys on the road to Emmaus we learned about this morning in Sunday school. They were overwhelmed. They were downtrodden because of the way things were going. Things didn't turn out like they expected. So they didn't even recognize Jesus was right there. It's the same thing here. Maybe these people were so scared or overwhelmed they'd already forgotten about the 5,000 that was fed by the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's easy to do. Sometimes we just need a wake-up call. Just got to remember that Jesus sees us. He's totally aware of the situation. We got to remember God's past faithfulness. Just look back on your life at all the times that God has seen you through. In the big things, even the little things. And he's not done because he's God. Amen. Think about it. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Their heart was hardened, maybe because of their overwhelmment in the situation. You know, back in, if you look over in John chapter 6, you know, let's flip over there. Hold your place in Mark 6 and let's go to John 6. You know, those so-called disciples were trying to force Jesus to be king. You know, they were trying to take him by force. And he departed again. This is the same account here. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. He went to pray. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. And the people were following him. This was at the height of Jesus' ministry and his Galilean ministry. He'd already been through there before. He's going through there again. And all the miracles and all the teachings and all the preaching and all the things he'd done, he had a huge following by then. And the people had an agenda. It was a wrong agenda. A lot of those people are so-called disciples. So Jesus breaks into this long sermon on the bread of life. And, you know, they had this political agenda, and Jesus had the spiritual agenda, and he was trying to bring them eternal life. They just wanted back control. And then we get over here toward the end of the chapter and look at verse 66. See, there's tons of people who were claiming to be followers of Jesus back then, but they were after a different Jesus than the disciples that ended up in the boat. And so they didn't like what Jesus had to say. They didn't like what Jesus was offering them. They had their own agenda. And look what verse 66 says in John 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They left. And Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Are ye leaving too? Now think about that. Just apply it to our lives. What if we're in that boat in between on the way to the what's next? The next place, the next part, the next phase for the next purpose. And things don't work out like we think they should. And maybe things aren't going the way we planned they went. And we don't get it. Or maybe we're after the wrong Jesus. The world tries to pull us that way. I mean, does that harden our heart too? Is that, it could happen. We have to guard our hearts. Jesus said, will you also go away? Listen, there's nothing the devil wants more. Especially in times of toil and fighting and rowing against the waves in the midst of the sea, in your darkest hour, in your hardest days, in a difficult season. The devil wants to do everything he can to tear you away from the Lord, to get you to turn and go away also. Because many fall, many go down. Listen. He wants you to forget that Jesus is watching. He wants you to forget that Jesus knows all about it. He wants you to forget that Jesus has a plan and a purpose for your life. He wants you to forget that God is good. He wants you to forget. Listen. Listen, every time we get into a trial, it shouldn't surprise us too much. Because he's got a purpose in all that. A lot of times he's just getting us ready for the what's next. It's faith training. It's faith camp. It's faith strengthening. It's like going to the gym. Until you start working out with heavier weights, you can't get ready to pick up something heavier. Are y'all with me this morning? I'm telling you. Or sometimes we have been away from the Lord a little bit and we need a little refining. You know, the Bible refers to God there in Malachi as a refiner's fire. Amen. Think about that. The Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to test you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. Listen, it's common with all. Jesus suffered. We're going to suffer. There's always a what's next. We have him to lean on. We have His promises to stand on. His grace is sufficient. Amen. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. We can lean on Him. Listen, He knows all. He sees you this morning. We got to trust Him. Can you trust Him today? Listen. Jesus' ministry on this earth. Aren't you glad there was a what's next? We get to read all about it. From place to place. From teaching to teaching. From miracle to miracle. There's always a what's next. Headed straight towards Calvary. Headed to the cross. The what's next? He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was hung on a cross for you and I. The what's next? Then the tomb. What was next? He rose again. Then what was next? He finished what He came to do and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. And then the what's next? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. What's next? You sang about it this morning. Oh, hallelujah. He's coming back. I will receive you into myself. Glory to God. The what's next? What is it? Maybe you're in between. But when Jesus meets you on the other side, all that purpose He's prepared you for, you'll see what He was doing. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You see us. We thank You, Lord, that You saw them. We thank You, Lord, that You see us. We thank You, Lord, that You went to them. We thank You, Lord, that You move at the best time. We thank You, Lord, that You heard them. We thank You, Lord, that You hear us. As we cry out, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You comforted them. We thank You, Lord, that we can trust You. We thank You that You calm the storms. And we're thankful that the storms pass. So, Lord, let us be thankful for that next place. For that next phase, that next part. And in between, God, as You prepare us for that next purpose on the other side. I pray we'd all take courage today and trust You.